And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, born this holy night. Amen. There is a line in John Donne's Advent poem, Annunciation, which speaks to the mystery of incarnation hidden in Mary's nave. Thou hast light and shuttest in little room, Donne says, immensity cloistered in thy dear womb. Cloistered is an excellent word for what we are experiencing this Christmas. The children all stayed home. The church's nave is quiet and empty. And out on Main Street, nary a caroler can be heard. And as someone somewhere once said, not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse. And there you are, the night before Christmas, watching church from your house. It's certainly not the ordinary Christmas. And we aren't going to pretend that it is. Faithful friends who are dear to us have not been able to gather near to us. And some of them are sick, and some in quarantine, and some we have lost. So no, it is no ordinary Christmas. But neither was that first Christmas so ordinary either. For then, too, it was ordered by the emperor in Rome that everyone must go home and stay there. And so Joseph and his pregnant wife, Mary, went back to Joseph's hometown in Bethlehem alone. And then in the fullness of time, the baby was born. And no ordinary baby either, for this baby boy was Joseph's godchild. And Mary's too. For the great God of the cosmos, so vast and so large, was for 9 months in Mary made tiny and small, then born of this teenager, suckled and swaddled in a stall. And there it is, the mystery of this night and the miracle of Christmas. That the one who knows all in all, every hair of the head and bird of the feather, comes to earth a suckling stranger. And the throne room for this ruler of all rulers, a rough and rugged barn, and his bed a borrowed manger. And for what? For what did this great God leave the throne of heaven to come to the footstool of earth? For us. God did it for us. God left heaven and cloistered God's self in the womb of a woman that we might be saved. And that, as the old carol says, the soul might feel its worth. There are still a lot of souls worth saving. And so, therefore, it is a godly thing what we do this Christmas evening. that we too, like God, would cloister. I know not all churches are doing that. Some are going right on like it's business as usual, and it seems that it is. This week, my Facebook feed was full of churches inviting me to bring the whole family to worship with them in person on Christmas Eve. One showed strobe lights and lasers and Santa breakdancing on the stage. Usually, I would say, well, to each their own. But one of these commercials implied, no, outright said that if you're brave enough to go to the grocery store, then you ought to be willing to go to church on Christmas. No, I'm sorry. I don't see it that way. And in fact, I find that commercial and the theology behind it to be seriously full of spiritual malpractice and even abuse. God did not come to earth to have us to come and catch COVID at Christmas, or to give it either. God came to earth to save us. It is what the name of Jesus means. God saves. God came down and cloistered that we might be saved. So it is not an unfaithful or cowardice thing that we would cloister to. It is a faithful thing. It is a godly thing. For this Christmas, cloisteredness is next to godliness. For those of you at home, I so wish that we could be together. Everybody likes to be at church at Christmas. Even the Christmas and Easter crowd like church at Christmas. And I love it. I love all of the frenzy in the narthex before the beginning of the service. I love the sound of the trumpet calling us to worship. And I love not only the sound, but the feel of the organ swelling on that last note of the last stanza before we sing the refrain, O come all ye faithful, adeste fideles. And I love the baby in the back squawking and kicking and screaming as we sing Little Lord Jesus, No Crying He Makes. And the parents, the poor parents, wondering how long-winded will this Baptist preacher be. And then finally, I love the lighting of the candles and the passing of the flame from one person to another throughout the sanctuary, throughout the world. I hate that we can't carry on that tradition tonight. But I want you to know that just because we aren't having church in the same way doesn't mean that we don't still have the light. We do have the light. We have the light inside. Like Mary, we have the light cloistered inside of us. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. That the glory is cloistered this Christmas is no shame. For to keep us alive is why he came. He came to save us, and so we should be saved now and forever. For light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. We will have Christmas again. COVID can't steal it forever. We'll light the lights, and we'll feel the organ, and we'll even delight in the screams of the crying baby in the back. It's what we're celebrating this evening after all, isn't it? And the Word became flesh, and eternity grew small. And the vastness and glory and immeasurability of all ages and dimensions beyond dimensions confined itself in a daughter of Eve, and the immortal and invisible one put on brown skin, subjecting itself to a decree by Augustus and an edict of Herod, and ultimately a cross of nails and a crown of thorns ordered by Pontius Pilate. And it happened for us, for you and for me, and for all creation, this thing that we call incarnation. And salvation to all that will is nigh, that all which always is all, everywhere, which cannot sin, and yet all sins must bear, which cannot die, yet cannot choose but die, lo, faithful virgin yields himself to lie. Thou hast light in dark and shuttest in little room, immensity cloistered in thy dear womb. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.